Kadesh Tevilat HaShaladam Tiyah B'tzura HaRuya. In order for a person's prayer to be proper, B'shat HaYitbonenut HaYomit Shelo. In your, every single day a person needs to have time to think, contemplation. Alav L'Yitbonen M'nekuda P'shuta V'yosudit B'yoter. A person should think about this fundamental idea. B'inyan HaTfilah, regarding tefillah. V'kol Siyach HaSadeh Terem Yeh V'aretz V'chol Esef HaSadeh Terem Yitzmach. Pasuk says that the fields, the bushes of the field didn't yet, was not yet there, and the grass of the field didn't yet sprout. Ki lo yimtir Hashem Elokim al haaretz, because God did not bring rain to the earth. Ve'adam ein la'avod et ha'adama, and there was no man to work the field. Ve'perash Rashi, ma'atam lo yimtir, why didn't God bring rain yet? Lefish adam ein la'avod et ha'adama, because there was no man to work. And he wouldn't recognize the good of the rain. Then when man came, he recognized we need rain, so the rain came. And then the trees and the grass came. In other words, Rashi's asking, what's the connection between the fact that there's no grass and then there's no man? It's like, okay, there's no grass because, and by the way, there's no man. Ma kesher. He says, because grass only comes when there's man who prays down the grass. Because what's the point of the grass if you don't have man to bring it down? So our job is to connect the heaven and earth and bring rain to bring the ground, to make the ground sprout.
I hear that, but I thought all of land things were created first.
Right. It's a good question. Nachon. So it's a contradiction. On the one hand, it seems like there was grass. On the other hand, it seems like it didn't fully sprout or something like that till man came. Maybe it partially came to the fruit, but not the trees. I don't know. It's a good question.
So it sounds like what he's saying is that the waters were created, but there was no condition of rain. Which that's I think that's possible.
Yeah, I guess so. Right, it seems like there was water but not rain. Or maybe the waters came, originally there was water and then it stopped for some reason.
No, but it doesn't mean that it rained water.
Right.
I mean, the water could have came from under.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, it was, the waters were separated and it doesn't say, and there was raining that created it.
Right.
Because the...
True. The rain seems to have been there already.
We see that the rain, like, it comes from the heavens, so to speak. But in the creation of the world, it was the separation, and then God separated.
Right.
So the rains didn't come from above.
Maybe not, yeah. I don't know. Good child. But the point here, more spiritually speaking, is that without our prayer, nothing happens.
Right.
This is a fundamental foundation. Shekol davar she'adam rotzeh la'asigo, everything a person wants to acquire, hen b'gashmius v'hen b'ruchnius, both physically and spiritually, atzura la'asigo yirach ha'idei tefillah. The only way to get it is through tefillah. B'li tefillah yishar la'asig muma. Without davening, you can't acquire anything. K'she'oved adam al nekuda zu, when a person works on this point, hu omed v'omer lefanav yitbarach, he says before Hashem, Ribono shel olam, ani ra'eh kavyacho, I see, shegam adam sheino shomer Torah mitzvot mekabel sheva mitoch mimcha yitbarach. I see that even people that don't daven receive blessing from you. Nirah im ken shefshar kavyacho lekabel shefa gam lelo tefillah. Apparently, you can get blessing even without davening. Mitzad sheni ani ma'amin ledevei Chazal. On the other hand, I believe Chazal. That only through tefillah does the person in mekabel shefa. Ribono shel olam, ani mitpalel lefanecha she'emunah sheli bedivrei chazal tiyeh amitit v'shleima. I want my emunah to be complete. Av she'elenei basar v'adam sheli nirah she'ein zo emet. Even though in my physical eyes it doesn't seem to be true, ezkeh la'amin b'kach be'emunah shleima. I should merit to believe it with full belief. And nothing really comes without emunah. In other words, without tefillah. Now, wait a second. It's a good shot. Like, does that mean I'm really supposed to, like, believe that everything I see before me is an illusion? You know? Okay. And that, like, the guy who, you know, had children and he never prayed in a moment in his life, like, it's not really there.
Yeah.
It's all an illusion. Maybe. I don't know. The way I always understood it is that without tefillah, there's no real existence to it, because only tefillah creates a real connection between Hashem and a person, which gives things substance. But it's still there. It's just not the same. It's not, you know what I'm saying? A person might have money without davening, but that money isn't going to connect him to Hashem and to happiness, which is...
Still be grateful.
Of course he should be grateful. Well, if he's grateful, then he's already connected to Hashem a little bit. I'm saying, like, he's saying, wait a second, you're saying everything only comes through tefillah, but we see a lot of people... Who have things without tefillah?
Well, how do we know they have them without tefillah?
Well, okay.
Maybe they do have them.
I mean, you ask them, and, right, but you ask a lot of people who aren't religious, and they'll tell you straight up, no, I don't pray. A lot of people don't believe in God. And yet they still want things. They want things. So you're saying that...
It's like, I really want to make a lot of money.
Okay, so that's why.
I want to make a lot of money.
So you're saying they may not even know it, but they're davening.
Yeah. Their ratzon is...
That's one way of putting it. Yeah, okay. I don't know, the way I put it, I think it makes sense to me that when Chazal say that you can't get anything without tefillah, it means you can't really have a connection to something without tefillah. Like, you'll have it on a physical level, but on a spiritual level, you're not really connected to it.
But he said in the beginning that the grass won't even come unless we pray for it.
Right, and that's a very physical thing. So I would take that as a metaphor. In other words, in that case, it was a physical thing, and... Yes, the grass literally didn't sprout until prayer. But I would say also that sometimes the grass does come because Hashem's merciful and kind.
Right.
And he decides to let people live in order for them to, you know, do tshuva eventually and whatever. For whatever reasons God has and his cheshbonot.
Yeah.
But prayer allows a person to have a real genuine connection to the thing. But he might be saying something much more extreme. He might be saying, no, they literally don't have it without prayer, and it's just an illusion or something like that. I'm not sure.
So I understand. So what is he saying after he goes into, well, we see people that get prayer, they get things without prayer. Well,
he didn't say that. I said that.
No, that's what he said. He says in the Chazal.
But no, it doesn't seem like that. But you have to daven to Hashem to have a munah that really it only comes from Hashem through prayer. That even though my eyes see A, I should feel B.
For me, okay. So he wants to go with that premise that it's all coming from Hashem.
Right. I think Bapashtis, he's saying, like you're saying, that literally, it all comes from Hashem. For me, though, the way I understand that Chazal is that it's not that. Physically, people don't have things without prayer, but that it's a fake. It looks like that thing that a person got without prayer is the real thing, but really the real thing comes when you pray for it, and then you have a spiritual connection to that thing when you get it.
Right. I mean, don't we also know that even if someone wants something that's not good for them, and they ask for it, God will help them.
Often, yeah. Sure.
So that's still a connection.
Sure, but that came through prayer. Exactly.
I'm saying it's still...
Yeah, it's when you pray for something, even if it's not yours, it can create a connection.
So what's this category of people not praying? What does that look like? I mean, like, that's like how come good things happen to bad people or so. I mean, like, Zach, who am I to judge? How do I know?
How do you know what? I'm confused. What's the question?
I'm saying if I see somebody that's getting all these amazing, wonderful things, and it's like, oh, how come I don't have those things? Well, maybe this person's praying a lot more.
First of all, it could be he's praying more.
Who knows?
Like, second of all, it's a joke, because like, we just don't know anything.
Right.
So it's like, the question doesn't even really start. You might think that this is the most... It's so many options. You might think this is a blessing for him. It's going to turn out it's going to be a curse. You might think he's having the best life ever because he has huge riches, and for him it might be mamish poisoning his life. Or the opposite. It might actually be absolutely awesome for it. and he might be praying for it. Or he might not be praying for it, but in his previous life, he did so many mitzvot and he did so many zchuyot that this neshama, reincarnation of his, has to get this. Or maybe in a future life, the chevshbonot is so wide that the world is so complex that the question doesn't even start if a person's honest with himself.
Right, but here he's talking specifically like money means, water means gashmiut.
I think so.
He's saying specifically if someone wants to...
Yeah, a person needs to daven to have emunah, that even though it seems like a person is getting it without prayer, it's really not true. It's really more complex than that. Uh-huh. Yeah. Certainly we need to intellectually clarify it. We need to widen. But the thing that a person needs to daven for, needs to have full faith. There's nothing you can acquire without davening. This alone we have to daven. To daven for the awareness that you need to daven for everything. Please Hashem, let us know that you have to daven in order to daven, in order to daven.
Amen. You want some water?
Water is great. Please Hashem, let me have water. You know what this reminds me of?
What?
This practice that we should go back to doing. My wife and I did it for a little bit. Our friend Esther Ravindra says there's an old Indian custom that before you eat breakfast, you pray on it. Meaning the bowl is literally in front of you.
Yeah.
And you then say, please Hashem, can I have cucumbers or whatever. And you need to remind yourself that like, even though physically it's there, it's not really there until you pray for it. Please Hashem, let me have water. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Shehakol Nihye Bidvara.
Amen.
Amen.
Speaking of food, I did a lot of cooking last night.
Give a hug.
Whole vegetable soup, made fish, stir-fried kale, and hard-boiled eggs. I'm like trying to cook for the whole week. It's like saving so much money.
My wife does that. Awesome. It's like, amazing. Gevalt, it's a big tikkun, and then you don't have the yetzer hara to buy junk probably. Cause
it's so much better. I mean, I save so much. Most of my money was going to eateries. Going out to because it's like, I don't want to deal with it. No money left over.
Gevalt, beautiful. You and Ari, you should go into a cooking thing together. Show him how to. He also did the cooking healthfully.
Oh yeah?
You should choose it.
Savannah, yeah.
Yep. Alright. Kozman Chatzarech Margish Chadam Margish Batvila Urak Bilchina Shalsiat Deshmaya. Midrashan Siyua. Now he's gonna say something very chazak. He's gonna say, as long as a person feels like, Abisiyat Deshmaya, meaning Hashem will help me. Siyua literally to help me.
Okay.
Normally we think that's a good thing, right? A person realizes it's not completely dependent on him, and rather it's God's going to help him also, right? Avahu margish ve'etzem, truthfully, akol kaviyachot talui bo. But really it's dependent on him. Fu yachol astader levad la'asig atzmo et hashef anitzlach. I can get it alone, I don't need God, but God will help. Chaser lo bakara, then he's lacking recognition. What's the essence of davening? And therefore, the weight that he gives towards davening will not be in the proper area.
I hear it.
He's saying you can't think God's going to help. You have to think God's going to do everything. It's completely, the way that I've heard is there's two different worlds. There's a world of in davening. We have to manage, realize that everything is dependent on Hashem. And really feel that way.
Yeah.
And cry and beg Hashem for everything.
Yeah.
And then you have to leave tefillah and be like, everything Hashem is going to give me, Hashem exactly gives me. I just have to be happy with my situation. It's two worlds. But the key is that when you're in tefillah mode, you can't think that it's dependent on you and Hashem will help. You have to actually think it's all dependent on Hashem. It's a crazy thought.
What about the consciousness that I'm praying for something and it's not happening and recognizing, okay, it's not happening. Maybe God doesn't want me to happen. That's okay. So I'm not going
to
pray.
Yeah, you need that. Not to pray for it at all. Well, yeah, you have to. And the Gemara says you shouldn't pray for a specific girl because that's maybe not not the one that Hashem wants. So yeah, to get specific, it would be unwise.
So then
but
what is one
to be general, I think there are certain things we know that Hashem wants from us. Right. It's like al daven for happiness. To please Hashem, let me be happy. You know, because I know there's a mitzvah called Yivdu et Hashem b'simcha, and I know that being happy. I mean, it's implied that if Hashem doesn't want me to be happy at this moment, he knows. But I think it's within the normal thing to daven for happiness, to daven for peace, to daven for no war, to daven for love. You know, these are general things. Now, when it comes to specific things, I might be well, Hashem, I'd really like if I could get this job. You know, it feels like this would be right. Perfect for what my neshama. You know, I think the whole Indian of tefillah, be real with God and
yeah.
Just tell him what you want, but not to demand it as if I need this job, because then he might be oh, okay, fine, here's your job, even though it's not good for you.
Right.
Really, I should ask for the general job where I can increase, you know, Hashem, I want to spread your Torah, I want a job where I can mamish, be Marbit's Torah. I think that's a general thing, but to say, no, I need this specific job, then,
right.
You know, I think you can do that, but it might be wiser to not to do that.
Meaning that I only have so much direction and focus. So it's sort of, if I know that everything comes from God and whatever He does, that's the right thing for me to do. And I have a specific will for something. And I keep on praying for it, it's not happening. So it's okay, so this is not the time for this. I'm not going to waste my energy on doing this because obviously it's not happening. Let me focus on something else.
Sure. I feel like a person needs to have a balance. On the one hand, I've totally been in that place where you feel like actually this tefillah could be taking you away from happiness and from Hashem a little bit. Because you're davening for the same thing over and over and over again, and then you don't see it.
Waste of time.
And then not only is it a waste of time, it dafka can take away because you're asking for it and then you don't get it. It's a disappointment.
I could lose my faith.
Yeah, no. So I think you're right. I think in that situation, a person should kind of chill out on about that specific thing and just general prayer. But I also think that sometimes a person just wants to squeeze it in there as a krach, he has a yearning to put that thing in there, and that's okay too. A person needs to find the balance, not to drive himself crazy by davening for something when it seems like the doors of heaven are closed. But on the other hand, there are times when you feel like the doors are open, you know, when it's Ne'il on Yom Kippur, not to hold back and be well, clearly it's not the time. I'm not going to even throw in that tefillah. No, that's the time to daven for what you want.
So
if you do it every single day, three times a day for the exact same thing, and it's going to come to disappoint you.
That sounds like
then demand. That doesn't sound healthy.
Also,
I feel just on the laws of attraction level, if it's something negative, it might be bringing if I don't want this, then it could lead you to bring that into your life. But if you dive in for happiness, that's a very broad thing that could only bring good things in your life.
Don't we learn, it's probably a midrash, but don't we learn that there was a point where Moshe was praying to God for something and God said stop. Oh, there's two times that God
should. It's not a midrash.
It's not a midrash.
It's this week's parsha. You know what's this week's parsha?
I didn't even
finish it. It's Gevalt. Actually, it just came up in my shiur.
Oh, the scene part? Her scene?
Splitting the sea. Where Moshe says, God, Moshe's davening.
Yeah.
And then Hashem says, stop davening. And go into the sea.
Uh-huh.
So you're right. It's in the Torah itself. It says there's a time to stop davening and to do action.
Right.
Right, that's why the Gemara says that it's as hard for God to split to make zivugim as it is for Him to split the sea.
Right.
And Rav Schwab explains because there's a time to stop davening and start doing action. Just at this. Yeah. On the one hand, you have to have the complete and utter amunah that it's obviously from Hashem. Nobody's questioning that splitting the sea is from God. But nobody should have any question that who your soulmate is from God, on the one hand. Right. On the other hand, there's a time when you have to stop davening. And do action. If you're going to be sitting in shul all day davening, and then while your date's waiting for you,
right.
saying go on the date, man. You need to, And it's like a very hard balance to have, to both know that it's all from Hashem and to do your status. But like, that's exactly what Hashem asked from us. So yeah, you have to have that balance of both.
So there's another thing I'm referring to where Moshe's praying to. Something's happening where like maybe he wants to kill the Jewish people or something, and Moshe's like praying and he tells him to stop. And it says if you were to keep praying, then I would have to bring the Gula.
Ah, you're talking about Vayet Hanan.
Yeah.
You're talking about the 515 tefillahs that Moshe davened.
Yes.
And then Hashem says, if you daven another tefillah, then I'm going to have to let you in.
And
bring the redemption.
Right.
And that's going to be really bad. So he makes him promise not to. He said, don't daven. No more tefillah.
Right. So like,
what? There is a point where you got to stop davening for something. So at the same time, Moshe davened 515 times. In other words, he's pushing. He knows the koach of tefillah.
Right.
He knows that he can attain things through tefillah.
So that kind of like goes to the point where it's sort of like, I know if I pray for something, God's going to give it to me. But where's the sign that's telling me that this is like, it's?
How do you know when it's too much?
Like in my experience, it's so relevant how powerful prayer is. Problem is where the direction of it to go is. You know what I mean? Like, obviously, it's good. He starts off saying rain. Obviously, you need rain because you need rain to eat, to do food, you get energy to.
Right.
So that's a very clear thing to pray for.
Right.
But what is the category in terms of prayers? If it's such a powerful thing, what is the prayers being directed to in that context?
What do you mean? What is being? Meaning, you're asking, what is the person davening for?
It's like there's many targets. What's the one thing to really focus on? In terms of prayer, it's like, okay, God, you know, please help me, you know, get, you know, bread and butter, whatever. Okay, thank you. It's like, okay, there's a lot of things. Or I can say, you know, like a bigger prayer, you know, like, please help me do exactly what I need to do today or whatever it is. And it includes everything. You know what I mean? Like, why limit to like a specific thing?
I think the more specific, the better in general. In general, the more specific, the better. In general, better to daven for others than just about yourself. In general, better to care about Klal Yisrael and general things, and not just because then you make yourself a selfless. In general, the more specific, the better. Every little thing you should be davening for, even, you know, to open up the door. Please Hashem, let the door be open. Like, mamash, uh-huh. As specific as you can be is better in general. I think there are very particular scenarios, like you were saying before, that maybe you'll drive yourself crazy and unhealthy emotionally. And a person will know that. You know, he'll feel like, actually, I've been at different times in my life when davening for a particular thing might cause me too much emotional pain and, like, distance me from feeling connected to God. Those are very particular situations that a person has to be aware of in the Shema. You know, where, like, it's just too painful to daven for it. And too disappointing. But I think 98% of the time, 99% of the time, the more davening, the better. And at the same time, the davening should not be taking me away from action. Right? But the good news is there's plenty of time in life. You know, while you're doing the action, you could still be davening. You know? So right. So those are my two criteria. As long as it's not taking you away from action, and as long as it's not causing you emotional, unhealthy pain. But otherwise, the more prayer, the better. And the prayer has to be done in like a humble type of way, where you're not forcing God's hand when it comes to specific things, right? That, like, you're not supposed to ask for that specific girl.
Right.
You say, God, I really want my zivug so I can achieve my soul fixing. And you can pray, even probably say, by the way, you know, Stacy is a great girl. Wink, wink.
Stacy.
Wouldn't it be great if she also found her soulmate, you know, wink, wink.
Yeah.
Like, to say, Hashem, give me Stacy. Like, that might, he might be like, okay, fine, here, take him. And it's not good. Why Hashem would do that, I don't know. But that's what the Gemara says, you gotta be careful about that.
Right.
You know? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
The question, a person has to look inside himself. That's where all the answers come from. A person knows how the tefillah is affecting him. You know? But the more tefillah, the better. And not just from a place of like, oh, it'll help, but like from a place of like, it is.
A guy starts praying, God, let there be world peace. He turns on the news and the world's still killing each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so then Fine. You know, if he has true emuna, I mean, probably what Rabbi Levavi would say, at that point he needs another tefillah. Hashem, help me know that even though I don't see world peace, I know that you're listening to my tefillahs.
So who says world peace is the right thing to be asking for?
Because the Torah tells you that world peace is the right thing to be asking for.
No, but we also know when the Jews are in peace, it could be even more dangerous.
Look, in general, there's 19 blessings. How do we know that we should rebuild Yerushalayim? Maybe it's not the time to rebuild Yerushalayim. It's true, but we should be yearning to rebuild Yerushalayim. So we should be yearning for peace. But at the same time, a Yid knows that sometimes Hashem has other cheshbonot. There's a bigger picture going on here. And sometimes there can't be world peace right now for the greater good of the universe. So if your seichel is like intact, then there shouldn't be a stira in everything. You know what I'm saying? Even like, I remember when everyone was davening for the three kids, right? You remember a few years back when the three...
Oh, yeah, right, of course.
And like, it was really disheartening. Like, we were all... the whole world came to daven at the kotel for them. And then like, they were killed. And like, but a person who has true, his brain's in line, knows, okay, but Hashem has his cheshbonot. And like, our tefillahs went somewhere. You know, but someone who's not there is emotionally all entangled. Maybe it wouldn't be healthy for him to go to that tefillah rally because he's going to go get all entangled in tefillah and then he's going to be disappointed and it's going to cause a mashver in emunah. So if you're not emotionally healthy in terms of your tefillah, then it could have a negative effect. You know, sometimes even saying Kaddish, I think, can be emotionally unhealthy for a person sometimes.
Okay, so?
Because like a person could be constantly davening for his parent and thinking about his parent, and like it's causing him a place of depression and then rebellion against God. A person who's that emotionally unstable, I don't know. He has to ask his rabbi. And I've been in situations where rabbis have said, okay, maybe stop saying Kaddish now. Of course, 99% of the time, a person should say Kaddish for his family, and it brings endless, you know, blessing for his family.
Right.
But you know, every situation is different, and that's why you have to figure, you know, what's more, you know. If a person's not emotionally stable, but sometimes you have to take the pain. Like, sometimes there are times when I know that davening with the tzibor is going to be a painful experience, and I'd much rather daven at home, and I still force myself to daven.
Yeah, but we also because know the power is stronger if it's with the tzibor, no?
Nachon.
Or even going to kever.
I'm saying, like today, I daven nates. I didn't want to daven eights. I wanted to like take a run, get myself connected, whatever. I was like, I woke up late, it was a late night. But like, I also know like there's a koach of tefillah of nates that like, that like is special.
Spiritual energy.
You know, and I was willing to sacrifice my kavana a little bit for this special segula of like nates. So same thing, sometimes I'll daven with dominion even though like I don't really want to daven.
Because I don't feel good about something doesn't mean it's not good for me.
Right, so that's it, but that's because I'm in a pretty emotionally stable place. If I was in a like totally topsy turvy world, and like then maybe I might need to skip a tefillah of a minion once in a while to like really like get emotionally healthy. Right. So every situation is different. You know? All right, let's wrap today's tefillah off. So Kozman Chatzar Shadam Argish B'Tefillah Hu Rak B'China Shel. Okay, we did. It's as long as it's just a help, it's not strong. אם אדם רוצה באמת לקנות את מדרגת התפילה, הוא חייב להגיע לקראת אמיתית בלב שבלי תפילה אי אפשר להשיג כלום. A person needs to recognize without תפילה there's nothing. בנקודה זו אדם צריך להתבונן היטב. You need to think good about this. Think well. לחזור עליה שוב ושוב. Return him on over and over and over. Remind yourself of this. לדבר עם ריבונו של עולם. To speak with Hashem. ולומר לו, אני יודע שבלי להתפלל לך אינני יכול להשיג כלום. I know without davening I can't get anything.
Oh.
Believe I need lo margishes out kokach, but I don't really feel this. I don't really think it's true. But intellectually, I'm certain that it's true. Ana mimcha azurli, help me, Hashem. Shargish et achavshishivotah v'nechitzotah shel tefillah. But I understand the vitality, the importance of tefillah. V'shechiyah be'etem lezot, and I should live, mamish, like that. Kach yomar la'atma pam achar pam, a person should live like this. I'd say this over and over then. Until he realizes that without tefillah you can't acquire anything. It's like, basically what we're doing is we're training our subconscious.
Uh-huh.
We have two brains. we have our natural brain, the brain we've been taught, which doesn't necessarily think that everything's dependent on tefillah, because it sees, no, I don't see that. And then we have our intellectual brain, which needs to be trained and taught and retaught and retaught and retaught constantly. But no, nothing happens without tefillah. That's basically the whole book. It's all like training our subconscious to see the world in a munidic type of way, which will ultimately give us true happiness. Jesus, yeah, I misunderstand the koach of tefillah, that nothing happens without tefillah. Beautiful. It's amazing.